Matthew chapter 4 is where we'll find our text tonight. Appreciate Brother Brian filling in for me last week, and we had a great time at camp. It's good to be back, and good to continue our study, learning to go and make disciples. As we look into the scriptures, we see the commandments of Jesus. We see the examples that are set by Jesus, the apostles, the other disciples. And so we want to learn from those things how to be better witnesses for Jesus, how to be better at evangelizing, how to be more faithful to God and obedient to Jesus in making disciples who make disciples. That's what we hope to do. And so we come to Matthew chapter 4. There's a parallel passage in Mark chapter 1. And then I'll talk to you a little bit about Luke chapter 5. And there's some differing opinions on that. But let's look now. And we're going to back up just a little bit to catch a little bit bigger section. Matthew 4 verse 12. Is where we're going to begin reading. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Let's pray together one more time. Heavenly Father, as we approach the Word of God tonight, I pray that you would help us to rightly divide the Word of truth. I pray your Holy Spirit would convict our hearts, guide us into all truth. Lord, anyone hearing this message who's never been born again, they are not believing in Jesus at this time. They've never been saved. I pray that tonight they would repent of their unbelief, their sin, that they would turn to you in faith, that they would trust with all their heart in the death and resurrection of Jesus alone to save them. That tonight they would call on your name and be saved. For those who are saved, Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to take the next step. Lord, some need to follow you in baptism. Others need to make greater commitments to you. All of us, Lord, need to let go of ourselves and sin and pride and hold on to you and be filled with your Spirit. And I just pray you'll work in all of our hearts. Father, I pray that you would give us a burden for the lost. Convict our hearts, Lord. Help us to have a compassion for those who don't know you. And give us the courage and boldness, compassion that we need to go and be faithful witnesses for you. Please help tonight. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray you'll bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so this is very early in the ministry of Jesus. There are some things that have already occurred. If you study it out chronologically, like the miracle at the wedding at Cana, I believe that's already taken place. Some things have already happened. You remember John chapter 1, the Lord has already called out Philip and called him to follow him. As a matter of fact, Andrew has gone to Peter and brought him to Jesus before this happened. And Philip went and found Nathanael and brought him to Jesus. So some of the disciples have kind of been around Jesus. Some things have been going on. And so just trying to follow that timeline, understand and get a picture of this. And so one of the things I want you to understand, this is not necessarily about evangelism particularly, but I think it has to do with our process of growth as followers of Jesus. There's a process that happens. There's a progression that happens where Jesus is going to call you into greater and greater service, where he's going to bring you from where you were, and it doesn't happen overnight. He brings you to a place of salvation, then he's going to call you to be a fisher of men, and he's going to call you to dedicate your life to that more and more and more, and there's going to be a process of growth, because we know salvation's the miracle of a moment, but sanctification is the process of a lifetime, and you see, as you study the details and the chronology of the Gospels, that Jesus would call them into deeper and deeper relationship with him, to greater and greater service for him. And I think that's true for all of us. Amen. You say, well, these are apostles, and that was a special calling for them. No, I believe God wants all of us to follow Jesus, and he wants all of us to be fishers of men. Let me try that one more time. He wants all of us to follow him, and he wants all of us to be fishers of men. This is not an exclusive thing to the apostles. This is for all of us. And if we follow him, we will fish. That's what he says. If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And so here's the convicting thing for me. Maybe this hits home with some of you. If Jesus says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men, it makes me think that if I'm not fishing, I have to question whether I'm following or not. If he says follow and you will fish, if I'm not fishing, then am I following? And it's a hard question I think all of us need to face tonight. If I'm not fishing for men, am I really following Jesus the way that he calls me to? Now, I want to take just a little bit of time tonight as we're establishing kind of where we're at. I told you there's a parallel passage in Mark chapter 1. That's verses 14 through 20. Now, some people believe that Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, is also a parallel passage. My personal belief is that it's not a parallel passage, that it's actually a different time. And here's what I believe happened. And you study this out. I believe that Jesus came. Remember, Andrew and John started following him, actually stayed the night with him, and then went back. And then we see Philip and Nathaniel, and different ones are kind of gathering, but they're all still in their home area. But Jesus came. When John was thrown into prison, he comes to Galilee, and he's going to do a circuit around Galilee. He's going to go on what we might call a missionary trip. And so Jesus comes and he says, I want you guys to go with me. He goes on that missionary circuit around Galilee, that area there, preaching, and we read about what he did. And then the guys kind of stay there. Remember, they've got families to take care of. Listen, Peter has a mother-in-law. You know what that means, right? What's he got? Never met a man that had a mother-in-law that didn't have a wife. Amen? I mean, that's the way that works. And so they have responsibilities. My personal belief is that they came back and they were working while they were there waiting for Jesus to say, hey, let's go again. Now, that's my conviction. That's my belief. You study it out for yourself. I want to tell you some of the details that are different. In Matthew and Mark's account, Peter and Andrew were casting a net into the sea. They immediately leave their nets and follow him. And then it says he goes a little further and sees James and John with Zebedee in a ship mending their nets. And they immediately leave the ship and follow him. In Luke, the Bible says there are two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. It says that they were washing their nets. And remember, Jesus preaches from the ship. And then Jesus tells Peter, after he gets done preaching, to launch out into the deep. Remember, Peter says, we've worked all night. We toiled all night. We've caught nothing. He says, go out into the deep and cast for a draught. And he says, we worked all night, we haven't caught a thing, but at your word, I will let down the net. And he goes, and they have such a massive catch of fish. The net breaks. He has to holler at James and John and others, and they come and help them. And that's when Peter falls down and declares, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Just one of the most powerful pictures that we see of the interaction between Peter and the Savior. And then Jesus says to Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. And if you look at the text, this indicates at that moment, Peter and Andrew and James and John were all together in one place, and they left everything there and followed Jesus. I think this is a separate account. You study it out for yourself. I think there's some great details there, because this is the time when they forsook all and followed him. Now, that could just simply mean that they left everything behind and followed him, or it could have a deeper meaning, that says that they forsook all and followed him. And the idea would be this. In Matthew and Mark's account earlier, there was a general call. Jesus said, I want you in your life to follow me and be fishers of men. And then later, it was a more permanent call. I want this to be your life. And they forsook all and followed him. So, because he said, from this moment on, this is what you're going to do. So you study it out, see for yourself. But here's what I want you to get. What they were doing in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18 was casting a net into the sea because they were fishermen. Seems like a cool thing for fishermen to do. If you study your Bible, it talks about a couple of different ways that people fish. That there is a fishing with a line, and it would be similar to the way some of you fish with a pole, or at least the way you did when you were a kid. How many of you ever fished with a cane pole? See your hands. Any Zebco 33 people? Any of those? Yeah, all right. Anybody ever struggle with a bait caster? If you've used a bait caster, you've struggled with a bait caster. I've made more bird's nests. Yeah, amen. There was a fishing in that day. They would fish with a line. There was another way they would fish, with a dragnet. And with the dragnet, they would have one or usually two ships, and they would have a net that they would, as they went across the sea or the lake, they would drag the net behind and scoop the fish up as they go. But here they're using a different kind of net. It's a casting net. Now, have any of you ever used a cast net? Anybody? A couple of you? Has anybody ever had a hard time with those things? Man, there's a skill to it. And these men, that's the way they fished. They would cast the net. And what would happen, it was it had little weights all around it. As they cast it out there, it would sink down to the bottom in kind of a dome and trap the fish. And when you draw it up, it sucks it up like this and brings all the fish up with it. And so that's what they were doing, casting a net because they were fishermen. Now, I love the fact that the Lord comes and calls these fishermen to follow him. Amen. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't find the scribes or the priests. I think it's interesting. I've always had this wondering. I remember when Jesus was born, the angels went to the shepherds in the field. I read my Bible and I look in the Old Testament, and it seems like the Lord had a special place in his heart for shepherds. Amen. Anybody else seen that way to you? But when we come to the New Testament, he does something different. In my mind, if I'm studying the Old Testament, I think, well, who's Jesus going to call? I would think maybe he'd get some shepherds. I mean, he did it all through the Old Testament. I mean, all of them, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, these are all shepherds. But he comes to the New Testament, he calls these fishermen. They're just regular guys. Amen. They're uneducated, they're unlearned. We heard about that Sunday. And these are the people that he calls, but there's some special characteristics that I think fishermen have that are really interesting when you think about it and you tie it in with fishing for men. They're casting a net into the sea, and Jesus sees them, and he calls them. By the way, he sees you, and he's calling you. He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He called them. What they were doing was fishing. What they were called to do was follow him. For them, this was literal. For them, this was literal. They're there casting a net. He says, follow me. He literally means, leave what you're doing and go with me. Like, literally, he's at one part of the lake. He calls Andrew and Peter, and he says, follow me. And they literally start walking along the seashore with him. They go a little further. There's James and John, and he calls them too, and they go a little further. And now they just keep following him all around wherever he went in Galilee. It was a literal calling for them to walk where he walked. Amen. To eat with him and to stay where he stayed and to do what he did. For us, it's a spiritual calling. We don't get to just pick up and go and follow Jesus physically, but we get to follow him spiritually. We get to follow him with our lives. And it's really, really awesome if you think about it. Can you walk with Jesus today? Can you? I'm here to tell you tonight that you can. You, every person in this room hearing my voice, everybody watching online, you can walk with Jesus. You can follow him. You can. You say, well, I don't know my Bible very well. You don't know who I am. You don't want it. It doesn't matter. You can follow Jesus. The invitation's there. You trust in him. You can follow him. You follow him as you as you walk with him in prayer. You follow him as you walk with him through the scriptures. You follow him as you abide in his word. You follow him as you continue in his word. That is walking with him. And you can learn of him. What they were doing was fishing. What they were called to do was to follow him. And he says, if you follow me, I will make. I will make. This is the work of the Lord. Becoming a fisher of men is a work of Christ. And I think it's a work of proximity. Nearness is likeness. And the more time they spent with Jesus, the more they became like Jesus. We read about James and John in Acts. And remember, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Their time with Jesus changed them. Their time with Jesus made them different. And so nearness is likeness. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I think about the characteristics of these fishermen. I want you to consider this before we go to our groups tonight. Notice in Luke's account, we won't take the time to read it, but Peter said, we've toiled all the night and have caught nothing. I want you to know that these fishermen were hard-working fishermen. I mean, I'm telling you, all night long, throwing that net out, all night long, dragging it back into the boat, all night long, throwing it out, dragging it in. Remember what they were doing the next day? They're mending their nets. Some of them are mending their nets. They're washing their nets. There was a great deal of work that went into being a fisherman. They were hardworking. Not only that, they were patient. Now, I don't know about you. I'm just going to confess to you, I don't really like fishing. I like catching. And if I go fishing and there's not any catching, then I'm not very interested in that. But these men were patient. Over and over, they cast the net and drew it in. Over and over, they stayed with it and they stayed with it. They were patient. They were persistent. They were hardworking. Can I suggest to you that they were probably a little brave? Probably a little courageous? Even to this day, they say that the Sea of Galilee, the Gennesaret, Tiberias, it's got lots of names in the scriptures. This lake is dangerous. It's dangerous. There was a time they were in the ship with Jesus and they thought they were going to die. Master, carest thou not that we perish? It was a dangerous thing to do. So they had some courage to them. They had some bravery. They were hardworking, patient, persistent, brave. I would say they were also perceptive. They understood some things. They understood that they had to take care of their nets if they were going to catch any fish. They had to mend them. They had to wash them. They had to care for them. I think they also probably knew where and when to find the fish. I reckon if they didn't know where and when to find the fish, at least sometimes, they probably wouldn't be fishermen very long. They had a rough night that day in Luke 5, but it couldn't always be bad. They had to catch fish sometime. So they knew where and when to find the fish. They knew how to read the signs of the weather. And I just think about those things, and you ponder that. Meditate on how fishermen were and how they must have been, and then think about how Jesus called fishermen to be fishers of men. Because I want to tell you, if we're going to be evangelistic, if we're going to reach the world with the gospel, we're going to have to be hardworking. It's not easy. Being faithful witnesses of Jesus is not easy. It takes hard work. It takes patience. I told you I don't like fishing, I like catching. Same thing's true with evangelism, except I enjoy fishing when it comes to evangelism. But I like catching a whole lot better. I love getting to preach the gospel. I love getting to share Christ with other people, but I really, really love seeing people trust Christ as their Savior. Amen. It takes patience, though. It takes persistence. You have to stick with it. People say we knocked on 1,000 doors and only one person got saved. They say it like it's a bad thing. That's glorious. Yeah, you wish you knock on 1,000 doors and 1,000 people get saved. That's not reality. But however many it is, our duty is to preach the gospel. God's the one who gives the increase. So we got to be patient. We got to be persistent. It takes courage to be a witness. It takes courage. It takes some bravery to talk to someone else about Jesus. We need to be perceptive too. We talk a lot about having law to the proud and grace to the humble. Jude says that we need to make a difference between those who need grace and those who need more of the law. We need to be perceptive. So we see what they were doing. They were fishing. We see what they were called to do, to follow Jesus, and he would make them fishers of men. We see what they did. Verse 20 says, they straightway left their nets and followed him. Verse 22 says, James and John immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. But I want you to consider, lastly, before we go to our groups, consider what they saw. We read Jesus in verse 23 through 25. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching. It says he was preaching the gospel. He was healing. His fame went throughout all Syria. There followed him great multitudes of people. What they saw was what Jesus did in fishing for men. They got to see that. They got to experience that. They got to hear him preach and see him heal. They got to follow him around and learn of him. Amen. They learned from the master. And guess what? We can too. Amen. That's what we're trying to do right now, is learn from the master, the Lord Jesus Christ, how to be fishers of men. Amen. And I want you to consider this before we go to our groups. Jesus would preach to multitudes. It says he went everywhere preaching and teaching, right? But consider this. He might go to a synagogue and preach to a crowd. But then what happened when he left? His disciples went with him. And what do you suppose, what do you reckon they did while they walked with Jesus? I'm going to guess they talked to him. I'm going to venture to say that they probably asked him questions about what he preached and about what he taught. I bet they talked about the great things that he did, the healing of the sick and the miracles he performed. I think that as they walked with Jesus, they talked to each other and talked to the Lord, and they talked more about the things that he preached. I want you to understand what we're doing on Wednesday nights is trying to pattern after what Jesus did. We have this lesson, we have the time of the preaching and teaching, but when we break into our small groups, the goal is to do what they did. They sat around and talked about, they went together and talked about the things that they learned and asked questions and discussed things together. That's the pattern that we see with Jesus' disciples, and we're just trying to emulate that. So with that, I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to split up into our groups.